continue in the book of Exodus, and this is the story of the Passover. It is the right after the final plague that convinces Pharaoh to let the Israelites go, to let all of those who have been enslaved leave the land of Egypt. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it in on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. And this is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." A very ancient text speaking of the Passover. There were 10 plagues to try to convince Pharaoh to leave, to let the people go. Started out with the river turned red, and the fish died, and then frogs came out of the river, and then there were gnats, and then there were flies, and on it went. The cattle died, locusts came, hail came, darkness came, and then the death of the firstborn came. The last plague. Sounds awful, doesn't it? This is called the first of the year's months, a commemoration of Israel's beginning as a free people. Seems to cost so much for people to give up slaves. People want to enslave others. It takes a lot to convince people. to give up greed. And so this is a lead month in the Jewish calendar then. This is the beginning of liturgical time, where we look at time not through just how close the sun is to the earth, not the seasons of the year, but we look at it through God's mighty acts of salvation. And so we in the United Methodist Church follow liturgical time. We have seasons of the year. Our year begins with Advent. And then we proceed on and go through the major holy days. Our Passover corresponds to Maundy Thursday, when Jesus celebrated the Passover with the disciples. And so, this commemorates the beginning of Israel as a free people. And I want to just take the Passover and offer some insights from it. And so, first of all, it says here that if they're going to celebrate the Passover, there should be a lamb for each household, and they should eat the meal together, each household. And if there is only one person in the household, that person should combine with someone else, and the family should come together. Also, I think there's provision here for the poor. If a household can't afford to have a lamb, then they combine with another household and they share the lamb. But here's the idea. No one eats alone. We take communion here together from time to time. This is the symbol that no one should ever have to eat alone. Now, sometimes I like to eat alone, all right? Sometimes I like not to be bothered. But if I eat alone too often, I start to get feeling a little weird. I'm used to eating with people. Eating should be done together, shouldn't it? And this Passover is a symbol that no one should have to eat alone. We are all together. And one day in heaven, we'll celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Jesus will be there, and everyone there, eating together, a symbol of unity. So when you eat around your table, thank God that you're eating together. Togetherness matters. It is the richest and deepest of covenants to eat with one another and to say, we share connections, and I belong to you, and you belong to me, and we all belong to God, and everyone is sacred, and no one should be taken for granted. They eat a lamb. Lambs are precious. Now it's interesting here, they take the lamb, and it's an unblemished lamb of a year old. They take it into their household for 4 days before the lamb is sacrificed. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a little lamb in my house for 4 days, at the end of the fourth day, I'm not sure I'd want to kill it. What about you? I was over in Africa, and the pastor there wanted to give Jane Wise a gift. And he brought out a goat, And he wanted to sacrifice that goat right there on the spot for the family meal as a gift to Jane. And Jane is thoroughly American, and that just seemed like a little much. And before she knew it, out of her mouth, she said, "Oh, no, 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 no." And she refused to have the goat sacrificed. Hurt their feelings, but that's the clash of culture, isn't it? But they took this lamb that had been in the house 4 days and sacrificed it. My son, Michael, I don't know if you'll remember this story, Michael. When you were in third grade, you had a school project. And his school project was he was supposed to find out some statistics of the family pet. And so we had a Shetland sheepdog at that time named Max. Max was the best little dog we've ever known. Max was such a good pet. I always said he deserved a better family. All right? That dog was so gentle and obedient and just like a perfect little dog. Well, anyway, you, Michael, had to measure how long Max was. You had to measure how tall he was. You had to get on the scale with Max and find out what he weighed. And then you had to write down how much Max cost. Do you remember how much Max cost? You don't. Okay. That's why I keep good notes in a journal. Max cost $50. That's $50 we ever spent. $50 was all Max cost. All right? And then, Michael, you had to put down right after that what you felt Max was worth now, after we'd had him for a year or two. This is what Michael put down. You don't remember this, do you? Oh, son, I thought you had such a good memory. Yeah. He put down a 1 followed by 12 zeros. Max was worth, and I think I'm right on my math here, $1 trillion. All right, so think of the appreciation. $50, $1 trillion. All right, that's a lot of appreciation. So I ask you, Michael, you don't remember this either, do you? Oh, I'm enjoying this. I ask you, I said, Michael, you put down $1 trillion. You mean to tell me if I would give you $1 trillion, you wouldn't sell Max? And you said, Dad, no amount of money could buy Max. The lamb is precious because it's innocent and gentle and is the symbol of God's mercy and loving kindness. And so the last plague that comes in, the angel of death comes and will strike the firstborn. And it is interesting how this is done. The lamb is sacrificed on the front porch. And blood then is taken with hyssop. Hyssop is dipped into the blood and put over the lintel and the doorposts, the frame of the... So you have blood at the head, at the sides, and at the feet of the threshold because the lamb was sacrificed on the threshold. Someone has remarked that it reminded them of Jesus on the cross, his head with thorns and his hands and his feet impaled by nails. Of course, Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he would sacrifice his own life for all those that we would be saved from the angel of death. Now it's interesting here. This lamb is precious. This lamb is sacrificed. And the blood of this lamb then cleanses. So let's go to the next slide. Cleanses, protects, and strengthens us for the journey to the promised land. So you can see how the story of salvation in Christ mirrors the story of salvation for the Israelites to be delivered out of Egypt to the promised land. And so the hyssop was dipped into the blood and put on the doorposts. Hyssop was used for purification. And so King David, after he sinned greatly, prayed this prayer: purge me with hyssop. In other words, cleanse me from my sin. David at that time felt he had committed nearly an unforgivable sin. And it's the unforgivable sins that God is most interested in cleansing. And Jesus has that power to forgive what seems unforgivable. The blood of the Lamb cleanses. The blood of the Lamb protects. It's very interesting here. Now, you know, in the ancient times, everything was attributed to God. God did most everything. I think sometimes they were wrong in how they thought. I don't think God does everything, do you? Do you think God's causing this hurricane to go over Florida? I know some preachers blame it and saying it's all judgment by God. I don't think so. We can't know every detail of what God does and doesn't do. I know God cannot sin. And so if God cannot sin and cannot lie, then we ought to watch out attributing everything to God. We cannot. But the ancients thought that way. But it's interesting in here. There's almost a conflict in this passage. It says that God will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt. And then it goes on to say, though, that God goes and passes over into the places marked with blood, passes over, and goes into the house. Where I will see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you. We tend to think the passing over is that he doesn't bother those houses. I don't think that's the way it is. I think God passes over into the house, fills the house with God's presence, and keeps the angel of death out. And that's what God wants to do for every household, to fill the house with God's presence, to protect the family, to protect life. God protects. Let's open up and let God protect us. When we're tempted to go somewhere where we ought not, remember God's merciful, can bring us back. God can change our hearts. God protects us. And God strengthens us for the journey to the promised land. And so they're to eat this meal before they leave Egypt. They're to eat it with their staff in their hand and sandals on their feet. They're getting ready to move right then. They'll need strength for the journey. It's a symbol. This blood of the Lamb is life. God is merciful and life-giving. So God wants to strengthen us for the journey to the promised land. It's why John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of his feet, but he shall give us his Spirit." And his Spirit comes into the house of our soul, fills it with light to strengthen us for the journey. It's not easy to live this life in obedience to God. It's not easy to keep persevering. It's not easy. It's so tempting to want to give up on God and to give up on ourselves and give up on others. But there is strength for the journey. And so any of us who are beaten down, let's ask for strength. Let's rely on the very salvific nature of Jesus. Because one day we're all going to eat together. Let's pray. Lord, fill our home and our hearts and the nations of this world with your mercy. We know this costs something, but your word reveals that it costs you. So, Jesus, fill us with your Spirit that we may eat together. And you will cleanse us and protect us and strengthen us.